Talking about the river of God, that anointing today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in beautiful, sunny, and rainy Clearwater, Florida today. We are so glad you've joined us. It's kind of cloudy out there this afternoon. Started out great. Now it's just a little doing its late afternoon Florida weather. And we're glad you've joined us no matter where you are. You might be in the Little Rock area, and we welcome all of you. There's a coverage there in seven states, and that's exciting. We're glad about that. The Tampa Bay area is huge, and then there's a lot of people that listen on the internet. Mm-hmm. And if you are in the local area and want to turn over to the internet, that is great. www.tantalk1340.com. Great reception, and it's all the same, and we are here. And we're going to have a great day. With me to my right is Nan Watson. Good to see you, Nan.
Always a pleasure, Pastor.
It is. And to my left is my wonderful associate pastor, the best associate pastor in the whole Tampa Bay world area, Pastor Jim Ellsbury.
Now, you know, now that she said that,
yes.
I got a lot to live up to.
But you're already living it.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You live it. You live it. You're awesome.
Yeah, we love you.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we're excited to be here today. We look forward to it every Sunday. I say that, but y'all don't have any clue how exciting it is for us week after week to come in here live on the radio show here at the radio station 1340 and just have a great time talking about the Lord. I mean, Nan, what better topic than to talk about the Lord and what he's doing in our lives?
No better topic. What's so cool about it? I mean, the anointing of the Lord has been like on every radio show I've ever been involved with or set and listened to, you know, yeah. Then that's what makes it so special, because he carries us right on through and leads a direction in which it is to go.
And, you know, there's no coincidence that that's our opening song. It's been our opening song since about the second week that we've had this radio show back in 07. We found that show, The River of God's Anointing, that we found that song somewhere on some album, and we've used it ever since. And don't you think, Pastor Jim, it just kind of says what it's all about, The River of God's Anointing? Some people may not know what that means. Go ahead.
Well, you know, God's anointing flows like
right.
a river.
Right.
And
does.
That's what that song's all about. Just we want to be in that river. We want to be part of that river.
Yes.
We want the anointing to flow through us
Amen.
Like a river.
Amen.
You know, the anointing, the presence, the power, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit
Absolutely.
Of God moving through us.
Amen. And along that line, we never have had a script. You can see all in front of me is a Bible and some songs, when we're going to do some songs. That's it. We have no clue, except we know where we are in the book of James that we're teaching right now. Pastor Jim, you and I are loving teaching the book of James right now. Isn't it fun?
And not only because it's named or I'm named for it.
That's yeah. true. James, that's right. Okay, wasn't thinking about that. But it's not just because of that. And tell them what happened today when we walked into the control room here in the in the studio.
In our studio, there's a big pulpit Bible.
Yes,
King James Version pulpit Bible.
Yay. Nan
Yay.
Loves that.
Yeah, Nan loves King James. And it was open to the first and second chapters of the book of James.
Which is where we are.
And I told Pastor when she got here, I didn't do this. It was that way when I walked in.
It's too cool. And it's just kind of neat to look over there and see that, because God had laid it on our hearts to teach this book. I think we began maybe 3 weeks ago, Pastor Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And it has just been exciting. And a lot of times I'll teach a series on Sundays, and then And Pastor Jim will preach some of that. And then on Wednesdays, we do a different series. But right. this time, we're not doing it that way, are
no,
we?
No, we're kind of really covering the book of James.
Right.
I mean, you know, Sunday morning and Wednesday.
Right.
It may be a little different aspects of it, but it's all, you know, we're just making our way through the book of James.
Right. And we're just teaching those principles. And what it's so fun to have the radio show to be able to really talk mm-hmm. about the principles that, like, when we teach or when we preach. Of course, Wednesday night's interactive, so we get right. a chance to really talk during Bible study. But Sunday morning isn't. I preach, and then people don't have a chance to comment. Not even you, Nan. But anyway.
Not even me.
Not even you. But don't you love having the radio show, Nan, to be able to talk about the nitty-gritty of what we're learning here?
You're really able to really get into it, mm-hmm. you know, in a real a special kind of way.
It is. It's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's fun.
Well, this is like my evening service.
Right.
You know, when I was involved with church, you know, several years ago, we had a Sunday morning and Sunday evening. I know a lot of churches now don't have Sunday evening services, and that's okay. You
right.
know, the one I went to, they decided to quit having it, and that's okay. But for me, this is a Sunday evening service, and perhaps for many of our listeners, they may or may not go to church on Sunday mornings, but for them, this is their evening service. So to be able right. to delve into, to use such a word, delve into, like you say, the nitty-gritty of the word.
Right.
You can really get a lot. And if they had questions, they could even call in if they wanted to.
Absolutely. I mean,
you know, so that's pretty cool.
And we're open to that. Even our engineer, Cedric, asked me last week, is it okay if people call in? Yes, they can. And the call-in number is 866-826-1340. That's toll-free if you're out of state. 866-826-1340. If you're local, it's real easy. 727-441-3000. That's our local Pinellas County number. So either way, a question, a comment, and we'll get to you when we can in the discussion. But Cedric will answer the phone, and then he'll tell us that there's a call. So if you do have a comment along the lines of what we're teaching, you can do that. And we also have email up. Pastor Jim's got it in front of him today. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com will get you right here to the monitor in front of Pastor Jim. So any comments, if you just want to tease us, or if you want to speak a blessing, or if you want to ask a question or a comment, that is great. We look forward to hearing from you. We're excited about today. We're in James chapter 2, and we're going to start with a song by Sidewalk Prophets. Wow, what a name for a group. Mm-hmm. Sidewalk Prophets. You Love Me Anyway.
Question was raised as my conscience fell, a silly little lie. It didn't mean much, but it lingers still in the corners of my mind. Still you call me to walk on the edge of this world, to spread my dreams and fly. But the future's so far, my heart is so frail. I think I'd rather stay inside. But you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh Lord, how you love me. Took more than my strength to simply be still, to see but never find. All the reasons we change, the reasons I doubt, and why do loved ones have to die? But you love me anyway. It's like nothing. You love me anyway. I am the sweat from your brow, but you love me anyway.
Praise God. Great song. It's the first time I've heard that one. Connie's all the time bringing some new stuff to us. That's beautiful.
I love that song.
Oh, how much does God love us? Oh, my. Mm-mm. Good song. So, Nan and Pastor Jim, we're in James chapter 2 here. So, those of you that have just joined us, this is Beacon of Hope Ministries. And as you're listening to the show, you can always check out our website. And that is very simply beaconofhopeministries.com. James chapter 2, my dear friends, don't let public opinion influence how you live out our glorious Christ-originated faith. I'm in the book of James chapter 2, verse 1, and I'm in the Message Bible. The two of you have, what do you have today?
New American Standard.
Okay, that's the one I cut my teeth on, and you've got King James.
What gave you that idea?
Nan always has the King James.
I remember a time when she forgot it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I brought a message with me.
There you go. That's very unusual, though. So if a person enters your church wearing an expensive suit and a street person wearing rags comes in right after him, you say to the man in the suit, "Sit here, sir. This is the best seat in the house." Whoa, whoa. And you either ignore the street person or you say, "Better sit over there in the back row." Haven't you segregated God's children and proved that you are judges who can't be trusted? Whoa. Listen, dear friends, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently? He chose the world's down and out as the kingdom's first citizens with full rights and privileges. And then the next line in the Message Bible is the one I wanted to get to, and it's verse 5. This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God. I'm going to say that sentence again. I love that in the Message Bible. And then we'll go to you guys, your translations, and have your take on what James is saying here. The kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God. It doesn't say here anybody who has a good $1,000 cushion in their savings account or always dresses perfectly or always behaves correctly. Pastor Jim, give us your take on this. I love this, the way he starts chapter 2. They must have had a problem in the early church.
It sounds like it. I mean,
yeah.
And you know, we talked about this on when we discussed, because we did discuss these scriptures on a Wednesday night. So many of us come from denominational backgrounds, and if you paid enough money, you get your little, I mean, you know, your little name on a plaque on your pew.
On your
pew. You kind of paid for your pew.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven forbid if somebody should come in who didn't know that and sit in your spot.
Oh, yeah. They'd be in big trouble. And I've seen that in churches, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, growing
oh, yeah.
up in the ministry all these years, all three of us have grown up in the ministry. And we've seen that. You've seen it, haven't you, Nan?
Yes.
That people are very protective of their chair, their little area in the pew.
And protective of... And I can only speak to my experiences at the church I grew up in, but protective of the status quo in the church. I mean, heaven forbid if, you know, a homeless person would walk in. And I'm thinking, how ironic we're going over this again, because what happened this morning in church.
We had that happen this morning.
We had that happen. And
beautiful thing, too.
Yeah, it wasn't it?
And he came up for prayer at the end, and we had a lot of anointed ministry to him. And
right.
And he's a wonderful man.
And I believe, I think he was sitting in one of the most comfortable chairs that we have at church.
He actually was,
remember.
Wasn't he? He sat down in the back in a nice, comfy chair.
How ironic was that? But, you know, it's true that we tend to give more preference to not just the wealthy,
mm-hmm.
but those who are maybe more learned, maybe sing better, the more talented, we would tend
dress
to give
better.
We would tend to give preference to that.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually goes along with what Paul said. You know, you need to give more honor to the parts that are least presentable.
Right. So, in other words, James is addressing this and saying, this is a problem, folks. Don't behave like this.
Right.
Nan, talk to us about this.
I was reminded of something that I haven't probably thought of in 25, 30 years. My husband... we were married and divorced twice. So
she couldn't get that divorce right the first time.
I couldn't get it right
the
first time, so I tried again. It was a mess then, too. But I am reminded he had contacted me and said, I really want us to try to get back together and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I'll come to church. So he came to church, all right. He came in on his motorcycle, walked in the church with his helmet under his head, having this beard-looking thing, and came and sat down by me. And, of course, no one except the pastor and his wife in the church knew who this guy was.
Oh.
So it got some looks for him to come and sit down.
I bet it
by
did.
Me. Oh, I bet. Because you were dressed in a dress and
dressed
hose,
up in a suit. And a
in a
hose,
suit. You looked so perfect, didn't you?
So perfect. And this guy, and they didn't know who he was. Well, it's interesting that, you know, we dated again and got remarried again. But they had different outlook on him, you know, because then we looked like the perfect couple because he would come in his suit.
Oh, he changed his apparel.
He would wear, we bought him suits. He would wear suits and he'd have gold that I had bought him, gold ring and gold, you know, just different gold. And just, you know, so if they would have seen him that way the first time, they wouldn't have been staring at me like they did when he came in.
That's
looking
a good point.
With the motorcycle helmet, you know, it was a real
right.
good touch.
Oh, well, that's excellent. Oh, my. So it's appearance. A lot of people base the way they treat people at church on how they look, what designer clothes they may be wearing or not wearing. You know, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, James says, you know, not to make any distinctions. And you know, this was probably the earliest book of the New Testament written. This is probably written between 45 and 48 AD. So it's, you know, it's right up there, the earliest books. And remember in the book of Acts what the people would do, because that's the church James was over. He was pastor of that church. You know, they would give all their, you know, people would sell their farms or their lands and give, you know, give all that money to the apostles. And so that's the church he was looking over. And, you know, I just have a feeling maybe what was happening was people were thinking, well, look what I gave.
Right.
You know, I gave all this to the church. And James says, you know what, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because, and I think he was probably thinking about, you know, just blessed are the poor in spirit. Because, you know, he says here.
Yeah.
God chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith.
Amen.
And heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. You know, he chose the poor.
Because so often I think, and I just throw this out and you two can discuss this with me and we can banter about this, but I think so often that when people have an excess of money, if they are not very, very, very careful, the money and all that it allows them to do keeps them kind of focused on entertainment or focused on all these other things sometimes. It's hard sometimes with that. And James is saying, hey, the things God chose the poor of the world. I mean, that's a fascinating thing. I mean, Jesus didn't walk around wealthy, although we know he had provision.
He did have provision.
He did.
But still, he said, you know, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor.
Right.
And, you know, it shocked me when I realized what that said. It's like, well, I thought you came to preach it to everybody, which of course he did, but primarily it's to the poor.
Right.
It's to the people who can't fend for themselves, the outcasts of society. That's who the gospel needs to go to first. And
right.
Look at me, I'm starting to preach because I'm pounding my hand.
Yes, you are. You're pounding your hand.
But and
it's okay.
And I think especially in these times, you know, we need to be very mindful that it's the poor. And
right.
If you read through the prophets, or when you read through the prophets, not if, but you ought to, you know, spend some time, especially,
sure.
Well, any of them, any, you know, all of them. There's such an emphasis on treating the poor fairly.
Yes, yes.
And it's just, that's what James, I mean, James was like, I think, he always reminded me of like Isaiah or Jeremiah, kind of, you know, I always kind of pictured him in that prophetic sort of mold
right.
from the Old Testament.
And he's really making a big deal here about this, that favoritism is not okay. it's not all right to treat somebody better in church or out of church even because of their money. I mean, we all have the stories of people in our families, perhaps, that somebody, great aunt so-and-so dies, and then everybody right before she dies is treating her so much better because they know she's about to die and they're going to get an inheritance. So they're taking her candy bars and whatever. I'm just teasing, but you know what I'm saying here.
I'm reminded of something that happened this morning. I must confess here, too, this confession.
Oh.
Regarding that young man who came into the service. And he's been into church with us numerous times and on Bible study. He's a very nice young man. And today he smelled very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I hug everybody. It doesn't matter to me who you are, what you're, sure. I don't care. I hug everybody. I'm just a hugger. And we were praying for him up there, and I thought, I answered this. I mean, this is a terrible thing to say, but I mean, I'm just being real here.
Just be real.
That's
man.
What we're about. I thought, I don't know if I should hug him or not. He had on a tank top and, you know, and everything. And I thought, I'll watch it. Look at Pastor Jim laughing at me.
Only because the same thing went through my mind, too. I mean, and I. Well, go ahead.
Shame
I guess
on
I don't want
you
to share.
Too. You two are in
at
trouble.
At least we're honest.
We're just human.
Yeah, I know. No, I
so,
know.
So what I decided to do, I said, I'm going to watch what Pastor does.
Uh-huh.
I watched you. I said, I'm going to watch. Because you were praying for him. We were all there praying for him. And I said, if she hugs him, then I'm going to hug him. And you did. You gave him a gigantic old bear hug. And I said, okay, that's cool for me. You know. And then I hugged him. And actually, the Lord gave me some words to give to him. So I spoke to him. Anyways, I watched you. So your sheep are watching you. You better be careful what
well,
you do.
Well, that's what pastors are to do. We're to lead and feed and model. Right. So, amen. Go ahead.
Well, and I was up there thinking, because I noticed that too. And I have this not an autobiography, but a biography of St. Francis of Assisi at home that I've had for, oh, I don't know, 30 years. And One of the things that was so vivid to me, one of the stories where he was ministering to some lepers.
Yeah.
And he just went up and started hugging on the lepers. And I thought, I mean, that flashed into my mind, and I thought, all right, that's settled. That settles the question for
right.
me.
Right, exactly.
You know, if Francis of Assisi could do that, then.
Well, that is the essence of the gospel, don't you think? Loving the ones that would appear to be less lovable, mm-hmm. or smelly, or dirty, or smell of alcohol, or whatever they might be. What's interesting about this young man is that he used to pastor church. The word of God was in this man, and addictions have taken him down. And I believe this is a plight across our globe, and it's certainly an area that the church needs to reach out to people who have been in situations where they have lost a lot, whether it's financially or whatever, ended up homeless. That's what James is talking about here. Right. In the end of chapter 1, right before this, he's saying, here is what real religion is. If you all have your Bibles, it's right there in James 1, 26 and 27. It says, anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. Reminds me of your hot air balloon experience.
Yes.
Lack of. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. This is the end of James chapter 1. Here's real religion, everybody. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. The godless world would say, don't touch them. You might get a disease. Don't be very careful how you handle them. They may want more of a handout. You right. know what I'm saying?
Or, well, I'll throw some money that direction.
Sure.
I give money to the orphans, but in my heart of hearts, I don't really care a squat about it.
Right,
them.
And that's common. Thank
you. I'm just doing it. But here, you know, James says to visit. I mean,
yes.
that means putting in some personal time and some face-to-face
yes.
communication
right.
with the downtrodden.
Right.
Can I say something? What he just said?
I don't know. Can she say something? We'll let you.
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead.
He says something that's very key in there. He said, put in the time.
Put in the time.
And a lot of times people don't want to take of their time
right.
to reach out to whoever, whether it's someone of a less economic standard or a greater economic standard. It doesn't matter. They just don't want to put the time.
That's huge. That's exactly right. The first Sunday of every month, we have nursing home ministry at Palm Garden in Clearwater. And that began because our Jeannie, was there for a couple of years. My mother was there for a period of time. And we developed such a bond with those nurses and aides and the people working around there that they ask us to do a service every month. And we love going there the first Sunday of the month. And I tell you, we've gotten into a new habit we've done in the last few weeks that we close that service. It's only a 40-minute service or whatever, but we close it with...
I love you with the love of the Lord.
Yeah, just went out the door. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King. And we go around, and I love you with the love of the Lord. And we go around and we sing it to them. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, hug on them and tell them we love them. And we genuinely do. The three of us are almost always there. And then, of course, other Beacon people, Beaconites. And it's so much, it's so rewarding to me. PJ, when I walk out of there on that Sunday, I'm just like, thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to minister to these elderly people who, you know, just need that love and that hug and mm-hmm. to be told how much God loves them. You know, that's what the ministry is all about.
Mm. You know, some of them, when you shake their hand or hold their hand, they don't want to let go.
That's the truth.
Right.
And, you know, it's like you hate to wrestle your hand back at them because... there's no telling how much human contact right. they have. We don't know the circumstances surrounding the lives of those people that are in there. We don't know all that. I mean, right. they're in a nice facility and everything. That's a plus for them. But as far as, you know, how often family visit, we don't know any of that.
Yeah.
And we may be just about the only human contact they have.
And that's so important, and that's a good point about human contact and touching, because so often people that are, quote-unquote, downtrodden and maybe elderly or very sick or whatever don't get that human touch,
right.
you know. And I know that hospice was telling my sisters and I during the last few months of our mother's life a few months back that touch her. Be sure and touch her. Be sure and rub her legs and touch her arm and you know, rub her face. And we were all doing that. And, of course, the morning, the day that she passed, we were right there, all three of us, right around her doing that, touching her, you know, and just reminding her of how much she was loved. And I think this is huge, that people need to feel that they are loved with a hug, a touch, an embrace. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think here sometime back when I was having issues with depression.
Yes.
You know, it was so meaningful right. that I could go into Beacon.
Right.
My family. They're right. my family. I have family here in town, but I mean, they're my church family.
Right.
I love them. And I spend more time with my church family than I do my you know, because we're there at church all the time. But just to be able to, you know, they were a hugging group. Okay,
right.
just by everybody, and there's huggers, but they would make special effort
right.
to give me a hug because they knew I was down.
Right.
That meant so much to me.
Amen.
You know, it was like, that let me know it's going to be okay.
Exactly.
It's going to be okay. You know, that human touch has meant so much to me.
Yes.
And I try to make it a point. If I see someone down, I make it a point to get to them. Sometimes you don't get to everybody in the service, but I make it a point that I get to someone if they appear down because I know the power of that hug.
Woo! Good stuff. Isn't that what Jesus was all about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did he do? He took the children on his knee and began to love
Bless
on them.
Them. Yeah.
And what did the disciples say about that?
They tried to stop it. They thought they, you know.
Oh, those are kids. Don't hold the kids,
well,
Jesus.
Well, don't hold the kids, you know.
It's they might slobber on you.
They might, yeah, they might slobber. And I think possibly the disciples were looking at the children as not important.
I know, yes.
And Jesus said, allow them to come to me because it's these types that are going to inherit the kingdom.
Exactly.
And, you know, I was thinking while you're talking about untouchables, I remember, now it's my turn to cry.
Okay, your turn to
Hey, pass along. I was doing that this morning, so we should all cry today. Go ahead.
One of the... you know, early on in the AIDS epidemic.
Yes.
Before it was really understood what the disease, you know, that it was a retrovirus and people didn't know how it was spread. I remember going in and having to suit up whenever anybody was in the hospital.
Right.
You know, with the mask and the gown, and you couldn't touch, you know. And I remember I saw the AIDS quilt long, long time ago, and there's a thing on there by a child, and it says, "Please hug me. I can't give you AIDS."
Wow.
And, you know, I was thinking,
wow.
So, you know, not just people with HIV or, you know, the homeless or whatever, but some people are just lonely in their own skin.
Absolutely.
And need a hug.
They do.
But, you know, we need not be afraid. And again, I go back to that example of Francis of Assisi. You know, he just didn't care. Because, right. You know, we all know back, you know, in the 1200s, leprosy was not curable.
Right.
And... but he didn't care. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. We have to have that abandon and that trust in God.
Amen.
When we, you know, not even, I mean, definitely hugging and touching, but just ministering to other people.
Exactly.
We have to have that kind of abandonment.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, trust that God's going to do what God wants done. And if we're in a position where it might not be, I don't want to say where it puts us in danger, but where it may not be the safest of places.
Right.
You know, if God's called us to go there, then he'll either protect us or he'll bring us home.
One right, or, exactly.
Know, one or the other. And either one's great. So,
well, don't you find it interesting, because we're on this thing of touching here, that all through the Word, Jesus would lay his hands on the sick and heal them. We're commanded to do that all through the Word. We're commanded in the book of James. We'll get there, yeah. In James 5, about if you're sick, call the elders of the church, you know, and they will pray over you, lay their hands on you and pray over you, anoint you with oil. That is scriptural. Jesus himself was our example as he walked this earth. He would lay his hands on people. Now, you know, in a lot of churches, that is such a radical concept. But it is not radical at all. It is scriptural. It is what Jesus did. He walked around. I think Jesus was a hugger. I honestly do. I think every time he saw his people he knew and all that, hey, just give me a hug, his brothers, his sisters. Mm-hmm. I really feel like Jesus was a hugger. He embraced people because he does that with us spiritually now. You know, I don't know about you two, but there's many times that I have felt, not that I could say I felt Jesus' arms around me, but all of a sudden it's just that feeling that comes over when you know you're loved.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know somebody is caring about you, and it's like that heavenly embrace, you know? It's just amazing. I've seen that so many times when I ministered to families that had just lost a loved one.
Well, and touch is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Connie could back me up on this at some point, but I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe there are studies that show that babies who aren't touched don't thrive.
Absolutely.
You know.
No, that's very true.
And, you know, touch is something we all need.
Right.
And with Jesus, of course, it worked both ways. That woman with the issue of blood came up and touched the tassels on the edge of his garment, and she was healed. All it took was a touch.
Well, and speaking of Connie, because she is a NICU respiratory therapist which, if some of you don't know what that is, that's the neonatal, the little tiny babies, the premature babies in the hospital. And she is very involved with that, and she'll be at work again in just a few minutes. But one of the things she has said is holding them or touching them is so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has mentioned that as she, you know, does the things, the treatments and things she does for those babies. So this really goes along with this. When we have people in our lives, whether they come to church, whether they're in the workplace, whether they're your next door neighbor or somebody that God puts in your path, we need to learn to be open to ministering God's love to them. If it some days it may mean make a pie and take it next door. It may mean
I need that kind of love.
You need that.
Pie. I'll love you, Pastor.
Will you make a pie, Nan?
I don't do pie, but I can do brownies.
Brownies? Oh,
that
yes.
works?
Of course.
Of course,
okay.
yes. Why don't you bring them Wednesday?
Okay.
Okay, so anyway.
You can love us all.
Yeah, love us all with some brownies. But anyway, it says here in James 2:5, the kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God. So this loving others is an outgrowth of loving God. And we've talked about Luke 10 a lot, but Luke 10 is about verse 22 or something like that, is the story where the young lawyer or young, I don't know exactly if it says there that he's a lawyer, but he's an aristocratic person, kind of a well-known person, comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, how does it read to you? And go ahead. You found it.
Yeah, it says lawyer here.
Lawyer, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, well, what's written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered him and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay,
whoa,
there
right
go.
There.
And Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live.
Do this and you will live. Really live.
Yeah. But wishing to justify himself, he, the lawyer, said to Jesus, well, just who is my neighbor?
And then we go into the story of
the Good Samaritan. And, you know, the lawyer had it right if he just kept his mouth shut.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know? I mean, I'm glad he didn't, because that gave us a wonderful parable.
Right.
But, you know, he had it right. You know, it.
Love the Lord your God.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And in fact, you just quoted that this morning
yes.
in church. And then but then the lawyer said, maybe he saw where Jesus was going with this. Like, your neighbor's everybody. Doesn't have
right.
to be the person that lives next door to you.
Exactly.
And I think maybe the lawyer saw where this was headed and thought, I don't think I want to go there. You know, so he said, well, just who is my neighbor? And of course, Jesus said, you know, he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Well, I like that phrase right before he says, wishing to justify himself. In the New American Standard, it says, so basically he was looking for an out. Well, not everybody's going to be my neighbor, you know. And I think that's what James is saying here. Quit picking and choosing the people that you are nice to and kind and loving. Don't just say, well, you're worthy of my love, Nan, because you're all the time doing this and this and this, and you make my life easier. She put some gas in my car the other night. She once in a while buys me Diet Coke, quite a bit, actually. And
you do some, by the way.
But, you know, okay, Nan, I love you because you do these things for me. No. I mean, James is making a point here. It's not about what you do for somebody that makes you obligated to love them.
Well, I was like, You've loved me ever since I've been in the church. You loved me.
I didn't
when
love
I didn't.
You at first. But you know, I'm teasing.
Once you warm up to me, you find that
no,
I'm safe
no,
and okay.
No, I've always loved you, Nan.
I know you have. But you loved me before I ever did any of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that doesn't make any difference of your love for me.
Absolutely.
It doesn't make any different level of
it's
your love
about,
for me.
It's not about, you know, a performance. It's not
it's
about
not,
that.
Yes.
Well, that would be phileo.
Yes.
Not agape.
Right. Phileo love, which I call phileo, but that, I don't pronounce it right. Brotherly kindness or brotherly
right.
love.
Yeah. I mean, but the God kind of love, the agape love, is it's the love that we don't deserve.
Right.
And we can never earn it.
Right.
It's unearnable. I think I just maybe coined a new word.
It's unearnable.
It's unearnable.
Right.
Because we can't earn God's love. The only
right.
thing we can do is respond to his grace in
Amen.
Faith. I mean, he's going to... And this is a hard concept for a lot of people to understand. God even loves the ones who decide for themselves they're going to go to hell.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that God sends you there because he hates you. You send yourself there, and God loves you still. And that's why I think, you know,
yes.
you know, so often, yeah, we have, I mean, yes, God will judge. But I read the scripture the other day in Isaiah, in fact, yesterday, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. It does, you know, God doesn't like, he doesn't like inflicting that punishment.
Right. Right.
You know, and I think that's hard for people to understand because they figure some people's idea of God is he's up there with a big old baseball bat ready to whack you on the head and,
right.
and you know, knock you into hell for doing wrong. No.
No.
He loves even the people that go to hell.
Yes.
I mean, otherwise, why did Jesus come?
Right. He came to die on a cross.
Exactly.
We talked about it today, didn't we? Died on a cross, shed his blood so we would have forgiveness of sin. So God loves us so much, he provided the answer.
Exactly.
You know, a way to avoid hell and all of that. Did you want to comment on that, Nan?
I'm glad he did.
Oh, amen. That's
I'm glad
a great
he
comment.
Did.
And it's because of his great love for us, you right. know?
You know, sometimes I've thought, because I'm reasonably lovable now. I still can have my moments because I'm human, you know? But I can remember times of thinking, how can you love me?
Right.
You know, after what I've done, you know, not that I haven't gone out and killed anybody, nothing like that, but just attitudes, outlook on things, behavior right. at times many years ago. It's like, God, how can you love
yes,
me?
Yes, yes.
How I don't love me.
Right.
How can you love me? And yet, he does.
Woo. He so does. And that's the great issue right here, that we've got to get this message out. This is our vision for Beacon of Hope. Let people know how much God loves them. You know, no matter what walk of life you are in out there, if you are feeling unloved today or unlovable, or you're feeling like you're just in a mess, there are people that will pray for you and love you, put their arms around you. That's us, a Beacon of Hope, and there's a lot of other people like us that will do that. And all it is you reaching out and saying, hey, here I am, you know, because we need to know who you are so that we can reach out to you. And God loves us so very much. We got a great discussion going here on Living the Good Life today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We have a new song. This one is by the group Luminate, and it's called Banner of Love. Listen to this as we're talking about love.
There's a fight between my heart and soul. When my pride tries to take control, it's hard to see what I was meant to be. And we are living in a world without a cause. And there's a need that seems impossible. But I can hear, I hear you calling me to raise a banner of love up high in these city streets. One hope for all the world to see. Be my banner of love. This love is a burning flame. One voice crying out your name. You're my banner of love. You're my banner of love. And only you can see my destiny. Only you can be the strength I need. 'Cause my life is yours now.
a great song. I've never heard that before. Pastor Jim, we were just sitting here as this was playing, knowing that we didn't know the words to this song coming up, and our conversation was just perfect
right.
for this song prior to the song coming on. And how the Holy Spirit does that is so wonderful and amazing, isn't it?
Well, he knows where we're going to be before we get there.
Exactly. So. Isn't that cool, though? You know? And that just says that God's always right there, planning ahead, planning ahead. Jehovah Jireh, you know, the God who provides for every need. Part of that meaning of his name is the God who sees ahead mm-hmm. and makes provision for your every need.
I had a flashback to 1974. Do you remember those long, they were about this long, about this wide, and they were little Christian things? And it was
yeah,
I remember
banners.
The little banners, and I remember the one that said I'm afraid of the future, and then at the bottom there's like a little dark hill with a cross, and it says underneath, don't worry, I've already been there.
Yes. 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 I used to carry those in my Christian bookstore. Yes. I do remember that. And so that is so cool because here God already knew that we were gonna be talking right mm-hmm. now about this whole issue. God's great love for us, and it said right here, raise the banner up high in city streets, one hope for all the world to see. That's what we need to do. We got to get this message of love out. We have got to. We've got to have more people catching the vision and getting on fire and praying. We are at Beacon right now. We start tonight at 6 o'clock, as soon as we go off the air. And I'll let you explain why tonight at 6 o'clock, Pastor Jim, but we start a prayer, 10-day prayer time for revival. And we are asking any of you out there in our listening audience, you can join us. We're not telling you when and how much you have to pray or anything. Just be very aware. We are believing God at Beacon of Hope for revival. And that it's going to spread from our ministry out, and that's what spread from us individually into the ministry and out on the city streets. Go ahead. And tonight at 6 o'clock is an important time.
Well, yeah. Actually, we're going to start ours at 6, but actually it's sunset. Tonight. The Feast of Trumpets. Rosh yes. Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, begins. But originally it was the Feast of Trumpets.
Right.
And, you know, symbolically it was like a harvest festival, but it was a call to attention.
Right.
Because 10 days from now, is the Day of Atonement.
Yes.
Which, you know, in under the Old Testament, you know, under the Old Covenant, that was the one day when the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. He would take, you know, he would take the blood in with him and sprinkle it on yes. the mercy seat. And so the sins of Israel were rolled back for another year. And so it's the Feast of Trumpets is like a wake-up call.
Right.
It's like an alarm clock, reminding you that this day is coming up. And so the next 10 days are traditionally called the 10 days of awe, the 10 days of reverence.
Okay.
It's 10 days of prayer and fasting and repentance, getting ready for the Day of Atonement.
And that is what we're doing at Beacon of Hope.
So we're kind of...
We're just going to jump on that bandwagon and go with that.
Yeah,
and repentance and prayer and days of awe, mm-hmm. all before God. You know, just saying, God, all right, talk to us, teach us,
right.
speak to my heart, change me. You know, I want to love people more. I want to love you more, God, all of that.
Yeah, and, and we talked about revival. It
yes.
has to start with us. I mean, the pattern is laid out in the New Testament.
Right.
It started with the 12. Then the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, then to the 3,000 that day that were saved and baptized.
Right.
And from there, you know, then the numbers kept adding. It was just a big, huge revival. But the pattern is, it starts with the leadership.
And it does.
So, you know, I mean, I know I got stuff I got to repent of. God's been showing me attitudes and, you know, it's just stuff that's got to change.
He's been speaking to me about me, too, over the last several weeks. And I know this is a critical time for us, and it does have to start with you and me as leadership. And Nan, also as Nan as leadership. It has to start with Nan, don't you think?
And the praise team. And, you know.
Absolutely.
Has God been talking to you?
He's been talking to me a little bit, Pastor.
Well, I think he needs to talk to you a lot, Nan.
Well, actually, he was talking to me a lot. I was downplaying it.
I'm teasing.
Imagine that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting. Oh, it just came something. But then it doesn't say in the Bible, "Whom the Lord loves, He
disciplines."
Yeah. And yeah, it's not so much of a discipline thing that's happening, but rather, you know, He bringing things to light, like what you were saying, Pastor Jim, and you were saying, Pastor Marcia, you know, just bringing things to realization. You know, you got an attitude in this area. Straighten it up a little bit.
Absolutely.
You feel that towards somebody, you better, along with your teaching, you better straighten it out.
Exactly. You
know? And so those are the kind of things that He...
It's not okay to harbor resentments and bitterness and all that. We're not going to go deeper with the Lord, and we're not going to influence and impact lives with a lot of that junk hanging around. I've said this before, but I've loved this through the years. I was listing a house once many, many years ago when I was a new realtor, probably 20 years ago, I don't know. And I'll never forget these people, so sweet, George and Margaret. And I was in their home, and they were showing me around before they signed the papers, you know, and everything. Got into the kitchen, and there was a plaque right there above the kitchen sink. And it said, "He who stuffeth, puffeth." And I got into this big conversation with her about this because... I said, "That's interesting that you have that there. How long has that been hanging there?" "Oh, the whole time, 45 years we've been living in this house." Okay. And I said, "What's that mean to you?" And she explained that it meant that they don't allow each other to stuff feelings. Now, these people were in their late 80s, okay, by this time when I was listing their house. They've both gone on to be with the Lord now. But it was they had an awareness that stuffing feelings hurt. Resentment, bitterness causes you to blow up at some time. He who stuffeth, puffeth.
And if, you know, I love that because, you know, obviously the literal level of understanding that is he who eats too much gets fat.
Right.
But yet they saw this right. underneath level.
Oh, yeah. They were talking about emotionally, that's what it was about for them. And that it was that they had learned through the years to when they were upset with each other to sit down and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And they'd explained all that to me. And I said, "No wonder you guys have been so happy all these years." And they were, you know. So, and this goes right into the next section of James 2. And it starts in about verse 8. "You do well when you complete the royal law of the scripture, rule of the scripture, love others as you love yourself. But if you play up to those so-called important people, you go against the rule and stand convicted by that. You can't pick and choose in these things." This is the Message Bible. "Specializing in keeping one or two things in God's law and ignoring others. The same God who said don't commit adultery also said don't murder. If you don't commit adultery, but you go ahead and murder, do you think your non-adultery will cancel out your murder? No, you're a murderer, period. What is this saying, you two? Talk to me." I find this a great, I love this passage right here in James.
Oh, okay, I was going to let Nan go.
Uh-huh. I'll let you go first.
Well, I like this, and I'm going to actually use a little footnote here. "If, however, you are fulfilling the law of our king,"
okay,
"according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself," you're doing well. Okay, and remember what Paul said. The whole law is based, you know, you fulfill that, you're fulfilling the law.
Right.
And but then in verse 10 he says, "Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point becomes guilty of it all." You mess up one point of the law, and you're guilty of breaking it all.
Exactly.
It's all kind of like, and I was thinking about this because I knew this we'd be getting here, you know, to these parts. I was meditating on this a while back, and it really shows the holiness of God.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether you're a big lawbreaker or a little lawbreaker. You're a lawbreaker, and in God's eyes,
exactly,
you're infinitely far away from Him now.
Right.
Because He's so infinitely pure and holy.
Right.
That, you know, if you break one, if you break all 613 of them,
right,
you're still going to be in the same spot in God's eyes.
Right. Absolutely.
Again, thank you, Jesus, for coming. You know.
Right. Yeah, because we could not keep the law.
Right.
We were not able to do that. There is no way. We are not. It wasn't humanly possible. That's why the Day of Atonement. I got to check the air conditioner while you comment on that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there were 613 commandments. I would have a hard time keeping all of them separate. But who can do that? You know, who can keep all those?
613 commandments.
So, and wow. And James says if you keep the whole law but stumble on, you know, trip over one of them,
right,
you're guilty of breaking the whole law. And it just shows how much I looked at this as showing us how much we need God, how much we need the Lord, because on our own we can't. I mean, Paul says we can't be justified by the law.
But yet there are churches out there and ministries out there, Pastor Jim, that get hung up on little tiny things, like earrings, let's say, like women wearing pants, like going to dances, playing cards. I mean, I grew up in churches around people like that, friends of mine that were not allowed to go to a dance, for instance, or whatever. And it's like they're stumbling over these little... Nan, you grew up like
say,
this.
I'm pretty sure Nan grew up
I think yeah, Nan I, did, didn't I, you?
Yes.
Do you want to comment on
that? Well, I mean, it was part of... I can't remember. We had the practical... Anyway, there was two different things. One was more, you know, spiritual lines and little lists, and then this other list of, you know, things.
There was a list, right?
Yeah, that you don't do. And,
right.
I mean, they listed those things that you just named.
Right.
You know,
cigarette smoking, chewing.
Right. I mean, everything.
I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls who do.
Yeah, exactly.
Dan, did you give up chewing tobacco? It's just not not a pretty habit.
I did until I moved out of their house, and then I took it back up again.
She's never smoked tobacco.
I've never done that. But I mean, it's a very confining.
Yes.
You know, they would say that you're of the world if you do these things.
Right.
You know, they spent so much time telling you. How do we used to say it? So much time telling you to don't do the do's that you don't spend enough time doing the do's or something. I'm getting this wrong, but basically they spend so much time
doing the don'ts.
Thank
don't
you.
Do the don'ts.
Yeah, you know, but they spend so much time on these type of things that they didn't seem to spend enough time on talking what you could do, what you could have in the Lord.
Well, and I think
go
too
on.
It's
oh, I can preach on this.
Yeah, this will preach. You're trying to externally impose holiness.
Yes.
That way.
Yes.
And you can't do that.
Can't
holiness
do
has to come from within.
Yes.
And holiness is not a matter of dress or hair or jewelry. You know, yeah, I mean, it could be used the wrong. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, it could be, because I know some people. God tells them, you know, wear this or whatever. And that's fine, because that's coming from God. It's not somebody saying, don't do this, don't do this. If you do this, you sin. If you do this, you sin. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says dancing is a sin.
Right. In fact, we're told to dance before the Lord.
Dance before the Lord.
David danced before the Lord with all his might.
And, you know, but if we try to impose rules externally, like with any kid, no, you can't do that. What did we do when our parents told us no?
Absolutely.
We went out and wanted to do it. It made it that much more attractive.
Absolutely it did.
And the change, the holiness has got to come from within. When God moves in you and changes your desires. Yeah, he may not. Obviously, I don't think he wants you to smoke.
Sure.
Doesn't
it's
want
not
you
good
to
for your
drink
health.
To excess.
Right. It's not good for your body. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, things that are hurtful to you, he doesn't want you to do.
Right.
And he'll work with you to change you on from the inside out, because you can, you know, you can impose it from the outside in.
Right.
And that's just, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Absolutely. The thing is, God's looking at our heart.
Mm-hmm.
That is what he's looking at. Whoa, we're in a good conversation here. We're glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We got another hour, and we're going to get into this deeper with Nan and Pastor Jim. And we've got to do some station identification here and verify or talk about all those stations that are associated with this one. And let's do it.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5 K233BF, Little Rock.
Wow. All of these stations, and we welcome that Little Rock audience up in those states. And we're in Clearwater, Florida. If you're visiting, we welcome you to come and visit us. We're on Almerton Road. Easy. It's a very well-known road in our area. Almerton Road, and that's 3700 Almerton Road. And we have a Sunday morning service, which is preaching and great music mm-hmm. and ministry time and just a wonderful time. Right. Starts at 10. We're out usually before noon. And a lot of times we have a fellowship time after with lunch someplace at some restaurant or carry in dinner. We like to do things like that. We go to ball games. We do all kinds of fun yes. things. Dan, you and I went with a group from our church just recently. Did we have fun? We ate all
we
kinds of food
and
at the ballpark.
And I knew the cotton candy man.
Nan knew the cotton candy man.
You're kidding.
At Tropicana Field, Cedric. We're sitting there watching the Rays game, and the guy comes up with a big thing of cotton candy. He goes, "Hey, Nan." I mean, now that's weird. Tell me, has that ever happened? That's never happened to me at Tropicana Field. I mean, just a little strange. Don't you think, Cedric?
I've gotten free tickets to go to Rays games twice there.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's the weirdest thing, because it happened both times. I've only been to Tropicana Field to see them twice.
And you got free tickets?
Both times I got free tickets.
We'll have
I was
to go with
up
you.
To the gate.
Well, we're going to have to
yeah,
go with you.
Buddy up with you. No.
Yeah.
That's the...
Well, I think our Rays lost today, actually. The Yankees, I think when I turned it, they were pretty bad against, yeah, it was not a good day for our hometown gang. But anyway, that's where we are. We're in Clearwater, Florida. And, yes, we're sports minded and the Bucks were doing great when I left for the radio station. So I think our Bucks may have won and our Rays may not have. I'm not quite sure about that, but Cedric will verify.
Cedric's looking it up.
He's
for
looking
you.
It yeah. up. He does. So we welcome you to Beacon of Hope. Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night at 7, and we have an interactive Bible study. Nan, tell us what happens on Wednesday night and what time and all that.
Well, we have prayer meeting at 6:15, which is basically, you know, people sharing their prayer requests, their praise reports. It's just a wonderful, actually a wonderful time of fellowship of being able to learn what's happening with people and what they're wanting to share. At 7, we actually begin the Bible study, which is interactive Bible study. And right
what do you
now,
mean by interactive?
I could ask questions. And you answer
you can.
Them.
You can. Just Nan can
there
ask questions.
Others can, too.
We have anybody
the,
can.
Anybody,
right?
Of course. We have the opportunity, anyone who wants to, if they
sure.
interject things into the teaching and...
go on. That's my score on my little okay. tablet. I'm sorry.
I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry. That's I forgot okay. no, to turn it on.
About Bible study.
Thank you. Yes, we talk about the word, but it's interactive back and forth. You're
right.
Just not preaching up there, teaching up there for an hour. It's actually, you know, you're teaching and we're learning and we're able to ask questions. And many of us come straight from work and go there. So what we do is bring our dinner and just
yeah.
we have tables set up
sure.
along so we can have our Bibles and notepads out if we take notes, have our food out, and some people bring stuff heated up in the microwave. It's just like family homecoming. We have
it
a blast.
Is. We have a great time on Wednesday nights. It's school of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
No, never mind.
And that's it?
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
So what happened there, Cedric?
Yeah, you're right. The, the Yankees.
Yeah.
Okay. It was 6-4.
But the Bucks won?
No, actually, they managed to... They were two touchdowns ahead, and they managed to lose.
That's very, very sad. Maybe. So now we have at two losses today. This is not good.
Maybe it's a good thing the Lightning aren't playing today.
It wasn't
thanks
a good
to the
day
lockout.
For Tampa Bay's teams. Okay. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Nan and Pastor Jim, along with me, Pastor Marcia. We're excited to be here every Sunday at this time. We have a prayer ministry. Pastor Jim, you write a lot of those prayers. Can we tell people how they can be a part of that?
Yeah, if you have a prayer request, we encourage you to send your prayer request to prayers, PRAYERS, at beaconofhopeministries, plural, .com. And one of us on the team will pick it up, and we send it out to the members of the prayer team, and we write up like a sample prayer so that we can all be praying the same thing.
Amen.
You know, people... can just look at that and pray it, and you know, so we're all kind of unified because we're really big on praying in unity.
Absolutely.
And praying in harmony. So, you know, we send that out to the prayer team, and when your prayer gets answered, if you would please let us know by sending your praise report back to the same address, because we do keep track of the praise reports.
We sure
also
do. And God just, oh, he just moves all the time. So if you, you don't have to be a part locally of Beacon of Hope. Just wherever you are in the world, send your prayer request to us.
We've gotten requests
from other places.
Australia.
Yes. So prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right. You know, so praise God.
Amen. I was listening to this next song this week, and it just really impacted my heart. Song by Michael Fry, Be the Center. Great song. I love that. Be the center. That's what it's all about. When Jesus is the center of our lives, our attitudes begin to change, Pastor Jim. It really, isn't that right on?
I love some of the lyrics in this song. Be the fire in my heart.
Yes.
Be the wind in my sails.
Mm.
Be my vision.
Be my vision.
You know,
that's what we're praying about during these 10 days right now. Those of you that are faithful listeners to the radio, our radio show, Living the Good Life, in other parts of the country or world, please join us as we begin this prayer for revival here starting tonight at 6 o'clock. In whatever way that you can do it, at whatever time during the day, there's no set time period. But our goal is to have vision renewed and people to understand that we're not just coming on the radio every Sunday for 2 hours to hear ourselves talk, Pastor Jim. We are here to create vision, to create a desire in our listeners for God.
Well, and it's so important. I like that, you know, recreating our vision.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Proverbs says, without that prophetic vision, the people perish. We
right.
have to have,
yes.
we have to have and keep that vision in front of us.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, if you lose the vision for your church, for yourself,
right.
you know, you lose the vision of what God wants you to be, you're just going to be wandering around
yeah.
either individually or as an entire church, and I've seen it happen.
Oh, I have too.
You know, you lose the vision and it just becomes church.
A social club.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, the churches that they attend have become that. And you and I talked this morning early because Beacon of Hope is not like that. Our slogan is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. We're all about the Word, are we not, Nan? You've been a part of us now 3 or 4 years, however many, I'm not even sure anymore. Four?
It's only two, Pastor.
Oh, shoot, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it feels it'll like four,
be,
Nan.
It'll be four for me next Sunday.
Four oh, for okay, you so next four. Sunday, okay. Just because you're so ornery, it feels like four, Nan.
Well, you spent a lot of time trying to deal with the ornery.
That's exactly ornery, right.
Whatever.
That's ornery why she babe. Gets those cute nicknames.
Yes, yes. That's right.
Asher Jonah.
Uh-huh. Asher Jonah, yes, the good yes. old days of not keeping Christ in the center of my life.
And what happened?
Made a mess of things in my life.
Right. Chaos and craziness and
yes.
Making wrong decisions. And we yes. have all been there, okay? And but our goal at Beacon of Hope is to provide a place where people can come and find God in such a deep, personal way that their life is forever changed. That's what we're about on this radio show. We don't do this for our health, but it is for our health
because well, yeah.
it makes us stronger, you know, and the Word and everything.
Yes,
but it's because we have a vision and we have a path we're headed down. Go ahead.
Well,
I could preach on that for a while.
Well, you sure could,
I
Pastor.
Know,
you
I
go.
Can't.
Well, Pastor Jim, the Christian. I'm sorry, I'm tired.
That's okay.
It's the scripture that Pastor Jim said in Proverbs where there is no vision, the people perish. There was a time when God led me to that scripture, and he let me know I had lost a vision for my church.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And that was, like, very insightful.
Yeah.
And I felt badly about it. I didn't want to do anything about it, to be honest. I, you know, but because it,
repentance,
it required a change of heart
yes.
within me, and I did do that.
Right.
And I regained that vision for the church
Absolutely.
That I had had difficulties dealing with.
We're not just playing church, you know.
No.
And this radio show is not about that. We don't just do this to hear ourselves talk. It's not about that. Pastor Jim talked to me about that because it's all wrapped up in this last concept that we're talking about today, which is this whole thing about mercy triumphing over judgment in James 2:13. And where James is really talking about loving people. That's what this is all about in James 2, these first 13 verses mm-hmm. of James 2. Go ahead.
Well, James talks about, you know, he talks about, we got as far as like verse 10.
Yeah.
And then you had said verse 11, you know, if you... he who said don't commit adultery also said don't commit murder. If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you've become a transgressor of the
right.
law. Just
exactly.
don't think you can pick and choose.
Right.
We can't pick the commandments we like and do those and not do the ones we don't much like.
Right, exactly.
Okay, we can't pick and choose. And then verse 12, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty.
Yes.
For judgment will be merciless. Now, I mean, New American Standard is pretty strong.
I like that.
For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy.
Right.
You know, that's that whole law of sowing and reaping.
It is.
It's, you know, you don't show mercy, you're not going to get mercy.
Right.
And, you know, you can't be much plainer than that. And that's why, you know, but... You know, mercy triumphs over judgment.
Yes.
Mercy trumps judgment.
It does.
And
it so does.
Yeah. I mean, mercy, well, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell.
Right.
And we, you know, we choose to send ourselves there.
Sure.
And, you know, he doesn't want to send anybody there because right. mercy triumphs over judgment. And I think of the parallel that Paul wrote. Where sin abounds,
right.
grace abounds all the more. And that
exactly.
is such a comfort to me because mercy triumphs over judgment. The times that I, you know, innumerable times when I backslid, where the sin abounded, grace just was so much more.
Because Jesus is always there loving us and calling us back to him. You know, that old, I was just thinking of the old hymn that we all grew up singing at the end of services. Just as I am
without one plea.
That thy blood was shed for me.
I mean, every Billy Graham crusade down through the years, he always used that song. And I think it is so, it's so vital to our discussion today. Just as I am, you know, just the way I am right now. And those of you out there in our listening audience, it doesn't matter what you've done. Maybe you say, well, I've just heard this in James. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. Yeah, but do you harbor bitterness? Do you harbor resentment? Do you harbor unforgiveness? Do you harbor anger down on the inside of you? Are you a worry wart? Are you filled with fear?
Yeah.
Those are all sin too. Anything that is apart from faith is sin. So when we are walking in our own natural abilities and our own hang-ups that are just humanness, our humanity, when we're walking in that, oh my, God comes through and he goes, wait a minute, just let me give you a little mercy right here. You know, you need a little mercy. You know, I'm thinking of the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle of Moses. And where does God reside? On the mercy seat.
On the mercy seat between the cherubim.
He does. He does. And, you know, in our humanity, we've got to come to a point where we realize we need God. We need him, Nan. I do, and I know you do.
How you know that? How you know
just
that?
Just because I know you, Nan. You need God. No, well, I say that with all love.
Of course, and I receive it with all love. We're just
I'm teasing you.
She's teasing me, so it won't get bent out, Pastor Marcia, because that's just the way that we interact. I was thinking, you know, you were talking about just because someone didn't murder and just because someone did whatever. You know, gossiping causes
division,
just more problems than a woman's is imagined. It's just really bad,
right.
You know. And some people set up in a pious way and say, "I've not done those things the Bible talks about there, but it talks about that other places,
right?"
You know? And I can say this because my parents don't listen to the show, but I can.
Okay, then.
I can remember times of leaving church and hearing them talk about brother or sister so-and-so and what they did. And, you know, it's like,
they
didn't talk real bad, but they did say some things. And that's what I grew up with.
So-and-so's skirt is too short.
Exactly. You know, did you see the gaudy-looking necklace sister so-and-so was wearing?
I hear you, because
and,
that's common.
You know, and
conversation.
And that's, you know, that, and it's just not good. You know,
yeah.
I have a favorite aunt that I call, and she's 85 years old, and I call her she lives in Georgia, and I call her every morning to see how she's doing and chat with her a few minutes, and sometimes she'll get off into some of this stuff, but most of the time she won't. You know, when she does, I really don't stop her because she's 85 years old and, you know, may not be with us a lot longer, so I don't want to be correcting my 85-year-old aunt, you know, just let it go. But, you know, and maybe that's not right either, but I don't want to get, you know, I'm not going to go there with her. But, you know, that is a thing that, you know, that just came to mind. Gossip.
Okay.
Is bad.
You know what? Of course, we don't plan this, but when you said that, I just saw it in my Bible, Proverbs 6, starting with verse 16. And it says, these are the six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are in the King James, it says an abomination or detestable to him. God hates these things. The first one in verse 17 of Proverbs 6 is haughty eyes. That's pride, guys. That's when you feel you're better than everybody else and all of that.
You mean they're the ones that are in the suits in the church and only greet each other in the suits?
It could be.
Okay.
Haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Do you know that I think the world has become liars? I mean, I really do. It's just everywhere, you know, and Satan is a liar and father of lies, and you hear it all the time. Sometimes you have to get burned a few times with some people to realize that they're liars.
Well,
you know?
And I think one thing to remember, even with these two, is, you know, Jesus said, you shall not kill, but if you hate your brother in your heart,
yes,
you've committed murder. You
yes.
shall not commit adultery, but if you have lust in your heart, you've already committed the act.
Yes.
And, I mean, so as we read, as we go through these, think about it. It's not, you know, if you have it in your heart, you've committed the act. Jesus says it goes beyond, because some people could say, well, you know, somebody could have the filthiest mind on the planet but not act on it.
Right.
And yet it's as much of a sin in God's eyes.
Absolutely.
Just because you didn't complete the action doesn't mean you didn't sin.
Is it in your heart? Is it in your mind?
Right.
Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, Proverbs 16, verse 17. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Whoa. A false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension or discord among brothers.
Uh-oh.
There it is. Right there.
There it is.
People who sow discord. These are the things God hates. I don't see in this list in Proverbs 6 anything about the fact that I've got on long shorts here today. I mean, yeah, they're not short shorts. I mean,
no, they're not.
That would not be good.
No, it would
but,
not be good. No, I'm joking.
But I mean, they're comfortable, you right. know, but I'm saying.
They go almost to your knee.
They're past it. Yes, exactly. Okay. But the point is simply your clothing is not mentioned here in this things that God hates. Whether or not you dance or play cards or whatever, it's not about that. It's your attitude of your heart. It's,
right. A lot of these are attitudinal.
They are attitudinal.
You know, haughty eyes, you know, and I think following from that is a lying tongue.
Yes.
A heart that devises wicked plans.
A heart that devises wicked plans.
That's pretty much your heart. That's not an action. You're thinking through, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Schemer, you know, mm-hmm. and planning and plotting, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to hurt so-and-so, but I don't care, you know, that kind of an attitude. And these are the things that God hates. He doesn't take these things lightly. This is sin, all the stuff that we're talking about right here. You know, and we should all be judged for any and all of this. Mercy triumphs.
Praise God.
Over judgment. We're going to talk more about this in just a few minutes. We got to hear this song by Selah. I love it. I turn to you.
From home, and the cold starts to blow. When I'm empty and alone, I turn to you. When there's hardness in my heart, it's all that
I think, Pastor Jim, this is one of my new favorite songs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love this. I love this. We got to do this live at Beacon of Hope Live. Anyway, we are glad you joined us on Living the Good Life here. And if you want to comment on all this discussion we've been having, you can do that by just going into your email and writing me right now, which Pastor Jim has it right in front of him, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And Pastor Jim, I said this at church this morning. I want to say it on the air, too. You and I are very open to hearing from our listening audience if they have a comment, if they have a suggestion. But if they have a need for scriptures that would help them with what they're going through, you are Pastor Jim at beaconofhopeministries.com. I'm just pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com because I had that originally when we first started the ministry, a long time ago. So we welcome people to contact us, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I love doing
you
that.
Love it.
I mean, that's, you know, God didn't right. give me the gift of teaching for nothing. So.
Right, yes.
Because there's nothing I like more than sitting down and looking at a couple of scriptures and, you know, tearing them apart, putting them back together again.
Amen. Yes. Yes. And so, you know, all of you, you're very welcome, any of you, to get a hold of us.
Yeah. If you have any questions, you know, feel free.
Right.
Feel free to do that because that's me. I love answering questions.
Yeah.
You know, If there's honest questions, I am more than happy to answer them.
Absolutely.
I love doing that.
Absolutely. So you're welcome. Just write him, Pastor Jim, at beaconofhopeministries.com. So we are in James 2, and we're going to kind of wrap up this segment here in just the next few minutes. And it wraps up in James 2:13 with this whole concept of mercy triumphing over judgment every time. I think that the average religious person, I'm just going to say that out there, is wrapped up in judgment, wrapped up in condemnation. The devil is always out to accuse us of our faults, to accuse us of our wrongdoing, to try to bring shame, to try to bring us down with condemnation. Romans 8:1 says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And yet we see all through the whole Bible, not just the New Testament, where the psalmists, where David and all these prophets are talking about God's mercy, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the judgment of God and God saying, wait a minute, don't do that. It's more than don't do that. It's do this instead of that.
I was going to say, in my quirkiness.
And he is quirky.
And I have some quirks. one of the things I do in just my own devotional time is on Saturday I read the Jewish scriptures for that week out of the Torah, and the one this week was all about in Deuteronomy, and, you know, God knew that the Israelites were going to mess up and end up in captivity, but he says in there, when that happens, I'll have compassion on you, and if when you turn back to me,
yes.
I think with this song, I turn to you. When you turn back to me,
yes,
I will have compassion on
Whoa.
You. And in Isaiah, you know, it says he longs to be compassionate. He longs
Amen.
To have mercy.
Yes, he does
toward us. It's not, you know, that's his nature. Yes, he is holy. He will judge, but he'd much rather be merciful.
Oh, amen. And David understood that. David mm-hmm. was a murderer and an adulterer.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he had both of these, didn't he?
He got both of them, you know. And yet he confessed his sin before God. Psalm 51 is him repenting before mm-hmm. God and saying, wait a minute, I don't want to be like that.
Well,
I'm sorry.
And
you know?
I love it with David. You know, people who think, I just have to say this, people who think the Bible is just so cutesy, or, you know, doesn't, you know, the
not
Bible,
effective for today, or
well,
whatever.
The Bible is, yeah, it tells it like it is.
It does.
David was no saint,
right?
Because, you know, he sinned with Bathsheba,
right?
Got her pregnant,
right?
Devised how to kill her husband, and I'm sorry, I don't know if Ray is listening, but this sure sounds like one of those ID programs we watch all the time. you know, I mean, just this convoluted soap opera with murder involved.
Lifetime movie.
Yeah. And then and then what happens is, you know, Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, gets killed. And here's David thinking, okay, I'm off scot-free. All right. You know, Nathan the prophet comes in and tells him this parable about this poor little lamb, and you know, this, and David self-righteously says, well, that person should be executed.
Right.
And Nathan just looks at him and says, excuse me, you are the man.
Right.
You know, all this time David was trying to kind of keep it contained, and and that's why I think he wrote Psalm 32 also, because he said, when I kept silent,
my bones
dried up and all that.
Right.
And I think he was really in torment. And then it just took the prophet to say, you are the man.
You're
and
the
David
man.
Said, you're right. I'm sorry. And then he wrote Psalm 51.
Created me a clean heart. Mm-hmm. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nan, you've had times in your life where you had to turn around and repent, haven't you? You just confessed one of those a little while ago.
Yes. I was going to give a Connie answer. Sorry. Hey, Connie. Well, yes. And probably the most memorable of everything has actually been since I've been at Beacon, going through counseling with you and Connie, and having to repent of some actions of even complacency of not doing what I was supposed to do. You know, God was definitely telling me something to do, and it had to do with a relationship.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to hear him. Yeah. Through you guys, I didn't want to hear. I mean, you weren't telling me what to do. That's not what it was about. But you were just helping me to work through things within myself, and for me to make a determination of what I needed to do. And I had to repent. You know, we went through the period of around Beacon. I was jokingly known as Jonah.
That's because what Pastor Jim was referring to.
I was running from God.
Running from God in rebellion. Really.
Oh, big time in rebellion. Yes.
And I think a lot of our audience can relate to that.
Well, sure. I mean, Jonah, I think with Jonah, it was maybe, I'm not saying it was this way with you, Nan, but I mean, I know with Jonah, it was self-righteous.
Right.
I do not want to go all the way to Nineveh.
Right.
And prophesy to them.
Right.
You know, because I know what you're going to do. You're going to end up, they're going to repent and, you know.
Right. He didn't even want to deal with all of that.
No, he didn't even want to deal with it. And so, you know, he gets on this ship.
Right.
Tries to go to what was then the end of the world, Spain.
Right.
Basically, and the ship got into a big old storm, and what they toss Jonah off the ship.
They figured it was him that was causing the problem, and then the big whale swallowed him up, and he was in the belly. Remember, I'm trying to say it correctly. Remember when
I
said
the belly of the bale?
I said that, yes, in a sermon not that long ago. The belly, what?
The welly of the bale.
Oh, the welly of the bale. That's what I said, Cedric. It was just like, and it just came flying out. Then I've never been able to say it right since.
Well, but one thing I want to read, being that we were talking about Jonah, there's two things that really stood out to me, because I kept feeling like the Lord was calling me Jonah, so I had to go and read Jonah.
Yeah.
Let me see what's happening with
chapters,
Jonah. All four chapters. Many times I've read all four chapters. It's interesting, in chapter 1, first words are, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah.
Yes.
And then he outlined what he wanted him to do.
Right.
And so then he got stuck in the welly of the bale.
Right, the welly of the bale.
And the beginning of the third chapter says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And that was so cool, I thought. You know,
that is.
I can relate with that.
Because God's not going to just let you go. Some of you out there may be in a lot of rebellion right now. You may be running from God, and you may be fearing God's wrath or his judgment. And what God is saying today is mercy triumphs over judgment. God is merciful. Oh, how merciful he is.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
They're getting fired up now. They both want to talk.
God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kenneth Copeland talks about it. God is not mad at you anymore.
Right.
God hasn't been mad at anybody since the crucifixion.
Yes.
It's
Jesus
just we
took
still,
it all.
Yeah, we still seem to think he is.
Right.
But he's already reconciled. He's done his part. All we have to do is do our part, which is believe.
Amen.
That he did his part.
Right.
That's, you know, how
Absolutely.
Easy is that?
Exactly.
Just like you said this morning. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross,
yes.
that he rose from the dead for us,
right.
that because of that, our sins are forgiven.
Yes.
And that's it.
And that's the mercy. And it triumphs over the judgment of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I got on that tangent about the blood of Jesus this morning.
Yes, you did.
But you know, it's critical that we understand how important that is, the blood of Jesus. The life is right in the blood. And, wow, this is good stuff. And repentance. I mean, it's time for there's a call that needs to go out across the world. It's time for the people of this day and age to rise up and desire God and desire to be in right standing and walk in that righteousness. It's time for it to begin with us. It begins right here with us. Go ahead.
At sunset tonight.
At sunset tonight.
The first day of Tishrei.
When we begin that repentance time and we are coming before God and we are saying, God, create in me a clean heart. Well, change me.
And think, The Festival of Trumpets, you blew trumpets. And Paul says at the last trumpet is when Jesus comes. So mm-hmm. this festival is associated with getting ready for Jesus to come back.
Yes.
And you think about the trumpets in the book of Revelation. Those were, I mean, they're wake-up calls for people to repent.
Absolutely.
It's not like God was, you know, just tossing out just to punish people. The trumpets were to call people to repentance. So those judgments, as we call them, in Book of Revelation, you know, where a third of the sun's darkened and you know, a third of the stars fall from the sky and a third of the green grass is burned up. Those are things to bring people back to God. It's not that God's just throwing out these judgments just to be mean and nasty.
No.
He's doing it to bring us back to himself. Paul says, behold the goodness and the severity of God.
Yes.
Goodness
Amen.
And severity. They go together.
Amen.
Because of his goodness, he sometimes has to slap us upside the head, metaphorically speaking, to get our attention so that we
attention.
Will repent.
Absolutely. It is about getting our attention and getting us to realize that we need to be walking in mercy for people around us, loving people, what James says here, love others as you love yourself. And if you don't love yourself and you got issues there that you need to deal with those
mm-hmm.
issues and let go of that shame and let go of your guilt and your all those hang-ups that keep you from loving yourself and learn to really love God. That's what it's all about. I think, Nan, the more we love God, the more we understand his mercy and his grace. And it is so amazing.
It is very amazing. You know, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to experience that, you know. And people are on different levels of their experience of that. I thought of it. I bring in a little story. We were coming here today. I was on Drew Street, and I saw this lady, and she was going along in a wheelchair, but it was a racing wheelchair, and she was going really fast.
I saw that too.
Yeah. Okay. Did you see the girl after that on the skateboard?
No.
Okay. Then a little bit later on, there was a girl on the skateboard, and I thought, you know, that's the way it is with the principles of what we're teaching. People are on different levels at times of their understanding.
Right.
They get a deeper understanding as they continue to walk.
Right.
In the Lord.
Yes.
But they're not all at the same place.
Same place.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like some things that Lord may show you if you were, you know, you can't necessarily share with everybody because it would be a higher level than what, I mean, we need to have a higher level taught so we can attain and go to a higher level. But, you know, can you help me with what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
I mean, God accepts us right where we are,
okay.
And we aren't all at the same place.
That's it.
And
yes.
What he may teach you in some concept may not make sense to somebody else, you
right.
know, because you're not at that same place.
And remember, in the Old Testament, when Aaron's rod budded, you know, God said, one rod from each of the 12 tribes. We'll just see who's going to be the priests.
Right.
And Aaron's rod budded, okay, had the flowers. Had the leaves, had the flowers, had the fruit.
Right.
So, you know, God says, and this is especially for leaders, you've got to be able to minister to people who are just little flowers.
Right.
Or who are leaves, mm-hmm. who are little flowers, and who are, you know, full-grown fruit.
Exactly. And it's not okay to have attitudes of criticism and judgment. Gossip, you mentioned earlier, is so destructive. Even in people's homes, you know, mm-hmm. when maybe there's a problem between two people and that is going out to other people. It's, you got to be so careful. Our tongue, boy, we're going to get into this in
chapter three.
Oh,
yeah.
My, of James. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, I kept thinking, you know, the disclaimer that you gave this morning.
Yeah. Do you want to tell what that disclaimer is?
Yeah, the pastor gave the disclaimer this morning that this sermon was not aimed at anyone in particular. It's just that.
But everybody
as a whole. And it's like, I'm thinking you might just want to keep giving that. You know?
Because it's just where we are in the book of James right now.
James is,
you know, it's practical Christian living. We encourage you to read with us, and it's only five chapters, so there's not a lot to read. We come to a point in our lives where we begin to say, God, I desire all you have for me. Mm-hmm. That is where we are as a leadership team at Beacon of Hope. God, we want to go deeper with you. We want to get the word out. We want to reach the people that are not being reached. We want to reach them with the love of Jesus. And let it begin with me, and it's going to begin with me as I empty myself of the things that would keep me from becoming as useful as I could possibly become in the kingdom of God. So that calls for repentance, turning around and going the opposite way.
That can sometimes be difficult because of our humanity. We don't want to turn loose of something because we think we have a right to hold on to it.
Absolutely, we do.
I mean, why do I want to repent for whatever? They hurt me, and
right.
I want to. Why should I have to do that?
Exactly.
They should have to do something.
Grudges, resentments, anger, bitterness. These are things that people in general, humanity, tends to hang on to and try to get somebody to make it right.
Right. And if we waited for other people to act, like Nan was saying, you know, they should be the ones to do this.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. We as Christians have to be the ones to make that first move.
Absolutely.
And in a sense, we're commanded. We're commanded to forgive. We're commanded to love.
Absolutely.
We're commanded to have mercy.
Right. Well, James says right here in 2:8, James 2:8, you do well when you complete the royal rule of the scripture, love others as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. If you feel like it, this is just a suggestion. It doesn't say that, does it?
No, it's
doesn't
a commandment.
Say if you feel like it.
Well, talking about like turning and going in a different direction, I thought of my ex-husband. I think of him a lot.
Boy, you do.
I don't think of him until I get on a radio show. It's a trip. What I recall doing after all the legal hassles, he really caused me for several years. It was really bad. And God saw me through all that. Praise God. And I reached a point, I mean, because what was done to me was wrong. There was no doubt about it. It was wrong. People would see it and they would say it was wrong. And one day, after spending various times with God, of course, it just didn't happen overnight, but all of a sudden I realized I could forgive him.
Mm.
And I think I've shared on the radio show, I remember one time when he dropped off our minor child, and Bradley, and I went out to him and I said, you know, I want to ask you to forgive me for all that I have done in our relationship. And he kind of laughed and mocked at me and said, you don't really mean that, and drove off. But I did really mean that, mm-hmm. and that's what counted. His mother passed away about a year and a half ago, and his sister invited me to the funeral, and it was with his permission. He granted permission for me to
go,
which was a big deal. And I thought, how far have we come?
Right.
You know, this is
yes,
great.
That's forgiveness.
I mean, that was forgiveness, so that
right.
you know, I could because I saw his mother periodically. You know,
amen.
And that was just a blessing. But in the forgiveness, I forgave him. I have freedom then. I wasn't
right.
tied down to thinking about him all the time and knowing how he'd done wrong. I forgave him and moved forward with my life. And
forgiveness,
that was freedom.
Amen.
Was freedom.
Forgiveness allows that.
It does. And it doesn't mean that you agree with the action that was done. And I say this all the time, but I think we just have to keep teaching this concept, Pastor Jim. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with the thing that was done. If it's an atrocity, let's say it's a rape or a murder, you're never going to agree with that. Or even if it is some emotional thing that somebody's done to you, you're not going to agree with what's been done. But the concept of forgiveness is, I don't have to agree that it was okay that you did it. I just have to release you from the debt you mm-hmm. owe me. I got to let go of it. That's it. I got to let go of it.
Hence, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors.
Amen.
You know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's incumbent upon us, if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive.
Amen. So we got to surrender the bitternesses in our life, the grudges. We got to surrender the anger. We got to surrender all the ways that we feel we've been wronged. We've got to surrender the doubt and the unbelief. And we've got to surrender the guilt and the shame of the past. We've got to let all that go, which is why I asked Connie to put this song on today, I Surrender All by Terry McCallum, one of my favorite artists. You got to listen to this. Whatever's going on in your life right now, whatever's keeping you from becoming all that you can be in God, whatever is hindering your prayer life, whatever is hindering your relationships with people around you, whatever is hindering your relationship with the Lord God, let's let it go. I surrender all. whatever is going on in your life today, listening audience, God is right there. He loves you so very much. He cares about the details of your life. If there are issues, if there are problems, if there is sin in your life, God says, surrender it to Him. Let it go. In fact, I just feel like the Lord is saying that there are several out there that are saying, I need a tune-up of God. I need to get my life straightened out. I need to let go of this and this and this and this, and I need to seek the Lord with all my heart. That is what God is saying in this show today. His nature is mercy. His nature is love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have never given your heart to the Lord Jesus, now is the perfect time. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we can be His child and live forever. And this is His promise to us. If you have never received Jesus into your heart, ask Him right now to come in and just confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Ask Him to forgive you for anything and everything you've ever done that was not pleasing to Him. And instead, turn away from that. Repent. Let go of all those things that you know are hindering your relationship with God. Walk away from that stuff. Repent and declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and make that decision right now and accept Him into your heart by faith. Surrender all. I surrender all. That's what it's all about, Pastor Jim. We so often live in judgment, judgment of others, judgment of ourselves, judgment of God. Somebody close to me recently said, I'm mad at God. I'm just mad at God. Why have I had to deal with this all these years? Why have I had this situation in my life? Why are my children affected by this? Mm-hmm. You know, why? And I said, what I'm hearing is you're mad at God. And He said, yes, I am. I'm hurting. I'm mad. I am upset that this has been the cards that were dealt to me. You know what I'm saying? What would you say to that person?
I've been mad too.
There you go.
Know? I mean, I've been mad too. We may not like what happens to us, and you know, and again, you have to have some timing with this because not everybody wants to hear it. But we live in a fallen world,
right?
And yeah, things are going to happen to us.
Yeah.
Things are not going to be exactly sometimes the way we want them to be.
Right.
And just a couple things. It's okay to be mad at God. I've been there. He can take it.
Right.
You know, He's big enough. He can take it.
Right.
And I think it's okay, you know. Yeah, you need to repent of that at some point. But it's okay to be mad at God.
Right.
You know, because... But you have to understand, too, it's the world we live in.
Right.
Until, you know, until Jesus comes back. It's also the prince of power, the ruler, the ruler.
Devil's working overtime.
The fake ruler of this world.
Right.
You know, the one who would like to think he rules the world.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to throw things at us. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, I'm going to be a grandfather. I'm
for the first time
excited.
Woo! We're so excited for Pastor Jim.
And yes. You know,
little girl.
Yeah, little girl. And it's exciting to me. And it's like, you know, and I've been through this, and I know my daughter has. It's like, oh, well, what if this is wrong? What if this is wrong? And it's like, it doesn't matter,
right?
Because God's still there,
right?
God's still there in the midst of whatever happens,
right?
God's still there.
Amen. Amen. So we surrender our concerns, our mm-hmm. worries, our doubts, our times of not feeling close to God right. and feeling like we failed God. Nan, do you want to comment on all this? We've got just a couple minutes. Final thoughts.
I know what it's like to feel like you haven't done and measured up to what you feel like the Lord wanted you to do.
Right.
One thing I jotted down that I just wanted to say, in one of the songs that said, Jesus be the source.
Yes.
And just would like to just reiterate it to those listening that with Jesus being the source, they can be able to do the things that James is encouraging us and telling us we need to do.
You know? Right. Absolutely, because we draw our strength from him, from God. And we can learn how to walk in forgiveness. We can learn how to walk in victory. We can learn how to walk in love, like James is talking about. This is not unattainable. We can do this because God gives us the strength and the ability. Do you have some final thoughts?
Just remember, I mean, the key thing, we talked about so much today, but...
Boy, didn't we?
Yeah, but mercy triumphs. Over judgment.
It does.
Mercy trumps judgment every time.
Exactly. So if you're in a situation where all you hear is judgment, criticism, condemnation, you better be making some adjustments here. Because you really need to be honing in and tuning in to the mercy of God.
Amen.
You'll find it all through the scriptures. Psalm 106 starts out about the mercy of God. Psalm 107. There's just so much. Just go to your concordance in the back of your Bible and look up mercy, and you're going to find all kinds of things. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's God's steadfast love for us. It's his unchanging love for us, his mercy. When we don't deserve it, we have it. You know, when we don't get what we deserve, you know, punishment, instead we get mercy, we get love.
Right.
That's what mercy is. Nan, do you have a final thought?
Not really.
All right.
I mean, I said what I had to say.
Okay.
No, I just, I know what it's like.
It's been a fun show.
I know what it's like to not walk where you need to walk, and it's really uncomfortable. And one thing, we were talking about me being Jonah and Jonah and Jonah, you know, he inspired a poem which was to me in the midst of all the poem writing that I've done was to me. And it was like everywhere I went, he was there. So
just like
you might
Jonah.
As well just go ahead and give in.
He's right there. Yes. God bless each of you. We welcome you to tune into our website, beaconoffolkministries.com. You can get all these shows because our engineer is wonderful and he saves them, and we get it on our website within a day or two after each show. So you can go back. You can use this as a teaching tool. You can tell other people, introduce the ministry to them, listen to the shows. Come if you're in the neighborhood, in the area, in the Tampa Bay area. We want you to visit with us at 3700 Almerton Road. And if you need a prayer, you need prayer for anything, prayers@beaconoffolkministries.com. Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday at 7 in our location. This week we will start putting my Sunday sermons back up on Facebook. We were going to get it done last week and had some difficulties, but they will be up this week. So you go to facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries, and you'll be able to catch those if you're in other states or other parts of the world. And so we encourage you to do that. Go to Facebook, Beacon of Hope Ministries. All right. God bless you. This has been Nan Watson, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Pastor Marcia McAllister, here every Sunday at 4 o'clock, and we're glad that we've had this time with you. Tell a friend, go to our website and listen to the shows. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week live, because we are always live right here in this studio in Clearwater, Florida. Pastor Jim, have you had fun?
Absolutely.
Ah.
And again,
time just flew.
Time just flew.
It's not far to Jesus. It's not far to Jesus, Nan. Praise God.
God. Yes, amen.
God bless you all. See you next week. Have a great week. God bless you.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.